Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we barely or don't remember. Push pause on that recording. Eat two pizzas, two salads. Thank you, patrons. Come back. Second half of the show. Oh, we also watched the movie while we're eating pizzas and salads. That's crucial. It's crucial to the form. Second half of the show, we're talking again. Now we know more about the movie because we watched
this. This is Orson Welles' champagne commercial outtakes level of intro. That was amazing. Like, you even had the, like, oh, I forgot I'm being recorded moment.
Lyndon, he hasn't even finished it yet.
No, sorry.
There's a fine champagne.
It's vintage dated. Paul Massant. Google Orson Welles' champagne commercial if you haven't seen it. It's amazing.
It's very good. It's very good. So is this Intrue. My name is Dan Intrue. Wow.
This is Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie, this very special episode, is
what's special about it?
The level of professionalism I brought to the intro.
Very special, true.
My big fat Greek wedding.
Oh.
Yay. Whoa.
The biggest, fattest Greek wedding you'll ever see in cinemas.
Unless two and three are bigger.
Or fatter.
Mm. Or fatter.
We wouldn't know. I've only seen the first one.
Me too.
Has everyone seen this one?
Yes.
Maybe.
Oh, boy. Mm.
Beth?
I've definitely seen it.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Confident.
Yeah. Very confident.
I'm also confident that I've seen it. So
I think may have even seen this in theaters.
Ooh.
Wow.
That seems correct.
I mean, it was definitely
a sleeper hit.
Yeah. It was definitely like, it had its moment, and boy, howdy, what a moment.
Yeah.
Was the moment like early 2000s?
Like, ooh, 2000s?
The reason I saw this movie is because a good friend of mine in high school wanted to see this movie, so we rented it and watched it at my house.
Was that good friend interested in you?
No.
Romantically?
No.
Okay, just checking. Go ahead.
She was in a long-term monogamous relationship with my other good friend, and we were all buds.
Was your other good friend interested in you? Romantically?
Maybe. I don't know. maybe on, you know, in dark moments, in the quiet of the night. Who knows? I wasn't there. I don't know their internal life.
Fair.
Anyway, that was in high school, which suggests to me that this came out in the late 90s or early 2000s, but like right on the cusp. Millennium, I'm saying.
The millennium. This feels like a post-Matrix world. So
you're
I'm
saying
gonna say
2000s?
2000.
I'm going to go late 90s.
Nice.
Just for fun. I'll say 98.
I'm going to say 2002.
Mm.
I will also say,
just to
no.
be spicy.
I will say 2001 to complete
Space
the,
Odyssey.
Sure, let's go with that. To complete the moment of my high school life that was in the 2000s.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
That was when you graduated?
No, I graduated in 2002, but Beth already took that. Yeah, don't dox me.
Oh. No. Oh, I was hoping that at your graduation they were like, congratulations, Dave. That would be funny.
Yeah.
I mean, if you graduated in the year 2001 and your administrator made a 2001 A Space Odyssey joke, please let us know.
Yeah.
612-089-something.
Put-a-do.
It's 612-208-978. What?
Or just go to totesrecall.com. It's on there.
Yeah, go to totesrecall.com.
I'm looking at the number and I can't read it out loud. So
I usually look at the number that you're holding, and I didn't have that in my hand today, which is why I screwed it up.
612-A?
089.
089, put-a-do.
Yep.
It's easy to remember.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Okay. We've gotten to
this
our
this is the
year.
Level of energy that we are bringing to this episode, which is the same level of energy that this movie has, because this movie is a big bonkers Greek family extravaganza.
Yeah, and I know it's not Mamma Mia, but
right.
It's definitely not.
It kind of is.
No.
How so?
It's in Greece.
It's not in Greece. It's in New Jersey. Is it New Jersey?
That seems right.
New Jersey.
And the bride is Greek, of Greek heritage.
Yes.
She has a massive, a massive Greek origin family.
And they own a restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Greek restaurant. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she meets a non-Greek person.
Yes.
With Corbin, John
Wait a
Corbin?
Minute. Wait a minute.
Corbin
Wait
Dallas?
A minute.
What?
Let's stop feeding
Multipass?
Dan all of these. Yes.
Lilu?
Let's stop feeding Dan all these important plot points from The Fifth Element and let him do a Union Strong 60-second pre-call where he tries to understand what this movie is actually about.
Okay.
I'm ready?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What? Okay. Jesus. Maybe check your attitude before you keep going.
I'm Greek.
Ready, go.
There's a Greek lady, and she falls in love with not Greek. They meet at a in the office doing business, but they also run into each other and spill coffee everywhere. Then he's like, "I love you," and she's like, "Okay, but I have a big family." And he's like, "That's fine," but then they're really big, and they all come to the wedding and they yell a lot and have food. There's a lot of food and there's rotating meats. That's Greek.
30
and
seconds.
Olives. And he's like, "Oh, this is too much, but still I love you and it's fine in the end." And there's a lot of cheek pinching as well. Someone gets their cheeks pinched. And Will I Am's there.
10 seconds.
Because it's the Will I Am. And he is the special guest and sings a song for everyone to enjoy. And yogurt.
Time.
Thick.
Okay. You realize that the Willennium is referring to William Smith, not Will I Am.
Oh,
right?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Wow.
Did I know that?
Maybe it's a celebration of all Will I Ams. You know what I mean?
Sure. That's fair.
Oh, that was his album.
Yeah, I feel like if this had been a Union Strong 45-second challenge, you would have nailed
Crushed
it, Dan.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I mean, always 100%.
Thank you.
Utah.
I was a little worried about my score.
Will I Am could show up and we will all be eating crow.
Yeah. That's true. I will say there is a member of NSYNC in this movie.
That's true.
Yes, there is.
That is true.
Is it not? It's not Justin. It's Lance Bass.
No. Is he Justin on? Doesn't have time for big fat Greek indie movies.
Is Lance Bass
He's too busy being mean to Britney Spears during this era?
Oh, yeah.
That Justified album. I tell you what, if you have not read Britney Spears's book / just listen to it half-heartedly on tape, then you would know that he was not great to her during that whole Justified period
he
of his life.
He doesn't seem like he was nice to multiple famous women.
Mm.
Didn't he run away from
up.
Janet when they got in trouble?
Oh. Sort of,
yeah. Oh, yeah, Janet Jackson,
he left
that was
her,
around that era.
Yeah, he left her out to dry a little bit on the press
he definitely
after the
did.
Fact. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Mm-hmm. I just looked at a picture of him because I was looking at 90s boy haircuts.
Yeah.
So I think my kid wants a 90s boy haircut. The way he's describing it, he wants it long in the front and parted, but then also like kind of long in the back, but not that long.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think he wants hair curtains. So I was trying to find pictures that he would like.
Yeah, Justin's not the one you want to look at.
No. He's too curly.
I'm gonna go for like a JTT.
Yeah, that was my initial internet search.
I mean, I bet one
Devin Sawa, who we've talked about before.
Oh yeah.
I bet one of the members of NSYNC might be a good reference during that era.
Okay, I'll check it out.
I don't know.
Is it Friends might also be okay after they got through the Caesar period of time? I think they had the central part.
Okay, I'll
check you know what? Or maybe somebody modern. Maybe somebody right now has that haircut.
Maybe.
If you have that haircut, please call.
And then
call. Text. Text
Describe.
A picture of your haircut, right? You can text.
Or put it on Discord. I don't know.
How will the hairstyles be in Big Fat Greek Wedding? I think they're
incredible.
The hair is curly, right? Our main Greek.
Wait, I feel like there's probably a whole thing about them doing her hair for the wedding.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Her wedding. Glamorous. Get up is incredible. There's a great line where it's like, wipe, don't dab or something. It's really funny.
What is that referring
to? I remember just the amount of makeup she has on.
Ah.
It's so much. It's so much. It's really, it's a great, yeah, it's a great moment. Y'all probably know the backstory of this movie, right?
No. I don't know
that
the
it
backstory.
Was done as a one-woman play.
I was in high school. Why would I know the background of this movie?
Well, oh. I guess I this is where. So we are all 35, as yes. we all know. Some of us are a little bit more 35 than others, and I am in the Gen X quadrant. So I remember all the stuff about this movie. And one thing was, what is her name? Nia? What can
Nia
I think
Vardalos.
Of her full name? Yes. She wrote a one-woman show called My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and it was very funny. And Rita Wilson
Ooh.
And a friend of hers happened to go to the show, and they loved it, and they helped support and set in motion it being turned into a film.
Oh, wow.
So it was nice. Kind of like a Cinderella story from that perspective. But also you would need that kind of star power to get a romantic comedy that True. Was mostly about her and her family and these two families, because he comes, of course, from a very Protestant, smaller family. And so yes. the culture clash is really sweet. But it's like a very kind movie. And I think about if like a bunch of dudes had taken over the script, mm-hmm. like how it would have not had quite the heart. But it was a sleeper. It started out in a few theaters and it was considered this independent film. And then it just got bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah.
And I think people were just hungry for a really good romantic comedy.
I think they were also just charmed by the just like deep bench of character actors that make up her family.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know anybody who's in this.
You probably won't recognize most of them, but I have a bet for you specifically, Dan. I think you will be very charmed by her dad.
Oh, mm-hmm. yep. That sounds
good. He's like a lovable but kind of cantankerous Greek old man. He's just a joy. I mean, her mom's kind of like that too, but
I think Andrea Martin's in it.
Yeah.
She plays one of the aunts.
She like one of the
maybe?
Aunts? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And then Joey Fatone's definitely in it.
For sure. It's possible some of the family is now recognizable. Like it might be some younger actors where now we're like, oh, hey, it's that person.
What about Mantzoukas?
I don't know.
He's Greek.
Is he?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Was this, I cannot remember, and I'm kicking myself because I just read a story about him, but it's Corbin, right? What's his first name?
I don't know his name.
This is the character Who? Or the actor?
The actor's name. He played the DJ in Northern Exposure and what was his name in Sex and the City? He was like the counterpoint to Mr. Big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mr. Small.
It wasn't Ethan.
Yes,
he was
Mr. Small. He was Mr. Small.
Yeah, Mr. Small, as famously known from. Yeah. But he, I think this helped to establish / cement him forever in the role of
nice guy.
Of a super, super nice guy. Although in Sex and the City, he was kind of insidious in his tamping down of things that made. Why can't I think of anybody's name right now? But
Jennifer?
Sarah Jessica Parker's character.
Christy?
Carrie.
I was close.
He really tampered down Carrie's personality and was kind of, anyway. But the actor is married to Bo Derek.
Oh, wow.
Which I find interesting. And they live in like a ranch in California and she's a Republican.
Oh.
And they didn't say what he is. So it'll be fascinating to watch.
You'll definitely know by the end of this movie.
Yeah.
I think we'll know. Like... He'll reveal it at some point. He'll just like turn to the camera and give a little wink and be like, Reagan, right?
Is the big wedding like analogy to big government? And that's why he's like small. He's like a small wedding guy, small government.
No, that's exactly right. And then like right at the end, there's like there's a little blooper where he like flubs his line when he's doing his vows and he just says like, vote George W. Bush. And everyone laughs, but it's a little tense. You know,
So, okay, I don't remember how they meet because I think at the beginning of the movie she's still single. Is that right?
Yes,
she is. It's because she. Oh, sorry, I know the answer, but I'll hold.
She's looking to
mingle. Excuse me.
What did you say, Dan?
She's looking to mingle.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you said she's like a Mengele, and I was like the biologist.
I don't know what that is. Oh, Jason.
What?
Jeff Mengele.
I don't know.
Are you having a stroke?
The squares guy. You know what I'm talking about. The squares guy.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what you're...
I'm not talking to you.
With dominant recessive genes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I believe this has a she's all that situation where when she first meets handsome man, she's like, oh, I've got glasses. Oh, my hair is a mess. And then later, she is able to guss yourself up for their second meet or something like that.
But she's got curly hair, right? I feel like
for sure.
Okay. But yeah.
Is that like the only thing you remember about this movie?
Did you see the posters? I feel less and less certain that I've seen it the more and more I talk about it.
I feel like this movie does a good job of like really something that movies nowadays are very bad at, where this movie I feel like does a good job of being like, the name of the movie has the word wedding in it. This movie is about a wedding. And I feel like they get to them being engaged pretty quick. And it's just like a nice, you know, like a nice quick whirlwind romance of cuts, of quick cuts and edits. And then it's like, now we're engaged. It's like, oh, thank God. Okay.
So we get like
the
actual
movie. They also have her. Here's the thing I like about this movie. I think I'm a pre-like thing. Is in my memory, what's cool about it is it's not that she starts out one way, meets this guy, and turns into a different person.
No, not at all.
Mm-mm. Which is more of like a she's all that-ish kind of thing. I think in this one, she starts her journey on her own of stepping out from her parents' restaurant. I believe she gets a job at a travel agency.
No. Mm.
And when she steps out on her own, that's when she collides with him. And she's just like,
she's
got
to go to Texas to talk to GW.
Yeah. Right. And she has no, you know, it's all very new to her. So she's trying to navigate both worlds.
She's
of
very
being independent
awkward.
And in love, has a huge crush on this person who's very comfortable around her. And so I think it stays in that, but it's never like, oh, will they or won't they get married?
No.
It's more like, how will they possibly overcome all of these?
So is there tension of like, when you meet my family, you'll hate me and call the whole thing off? Or it's
I think it's just like
a comedy of errors. Oh, it's so funny how big and loud they are.
I think it's a fish out of water both ways.
Yeah, I think there is that tension with her, but it's more just like she's just juggling this anxiety of like her family is so close knit, and like she's by the fact that she's not marrying a nice Greek boy, she's already like broken some unspoken, probably not unspoken, actually probably some loudly spoken pact with her parents. So she's already there's tension there. And then, you know, there's this other, I think there's this ongoing thing of like, you know, is he willing to deal with this family as much as they want me to continue to deal with them?
Yeah.
Because they are a lot.
So what's our like two, does this follow a pretty typical rom-com structure? Do we have like a 2/3 of the way through things break down and then they come back together?
There's got to be something, right? At least, like, her parents are grumpy about something, or there's got to be a moment where, like, someone's pissed off, right?
I think there is something. I don't know. I think that, to me, is one of the reasons I really like this movie, is it's less standard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not fully in the Hallmark pattern. And I think part of it is the origin story is not. It was birthed out of a Hollywood robot writing it.
Right.
So I think there's a little bit more just, like, ensemble living in the characters, funny movie that happens to have this huge romantic element more than everything is designed in order to create obstacles to the altar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
My guess is that more of like that, whatever that conflict is at the end is like, she just has a moment of feeling completely overwhelmed by all these like demands from like every individual person in her family has something that they need or want in the wedding.
Right.
And then they all have their own quirks, and I think she might just feel overwhelmed, and then there's like probably a moment where like it doesn't matter, we love each other, we're just gonna, you know, support each other kind
maybe
of thing.
She threatens to elope at some point or something like that.
Damn.
Oh yeah, that could be.
Yeah,
I remember a couple running bits.
Okay.
One is that almost everyone is named Nikki or Nick.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And then another one is that the dad uses Windex like hear anything.
What?
Like if there's ever like an injury or something, you just have to spray a little Windex on it and it fixes it right up.
Wow.
I have a Windex story.
Do you?
Say that for
the second half.
Second half. Teaser.
Wow. Can't wait to hear it.
Like Dan's like, I have something to contribute. I haven't seen this movie. I remember is there's someone with curly hair on the poster, but I got a Windex story.
Does she have any sisters or is that part of the tension? She's like the only daughter.
Great question.
I think it's all cousins.
Because I feel like it's, I just vaguely remember just being like a lot of scenes of just like Joey Fatone and like 18 other men.
Yeah. Right,
of similar ages, just being like, "Oh, whoa, ba ba ba, opa!" And just like,
doesn't she maybe have sisters who are married?
Oh, maybe
I can't
that's
remember.
It.
I know she has a cousin Nikki. She's close to.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Yeah. It's like she has sisters, but they're all married to nice Greek boys.
Mm. Yeah, maybe
one. I don't know. Some of the 18 men behind Joey Fatone are the husbands of her sisters or something. Yeah.
Joey Fatone is a brother or
family.
He's family, close.
I don't
family.
Remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember how anyone is related.
Role.
No.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the joke is that it's impossible. Yeah.
And this is autobiographical?
I think somewhat, maybe. That's a great question. I will look it up.
It feels very, if nothing else, it feels very like inspired by the house I grew up in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like this specific scenario, but I'm guessing like I'm guessing her parents in the movie are heavily based on her parents in real life.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a slam dunk for Bechdel Wallace.
Oh God, let's hope so.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I feel like there's probably a heart to heart moment where she's sitting on a bed with her mom, like on the end of the bed talking about something.
Yep. The dad is the head of the house, but the mom is the neck. And she swivels the head.
Wow.
That's something from the movie. Okay. You could look forward to that.
Okay, I do.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm already feel like I think sometimes when some of us have seen the movie and others of us haven't, and some of us maybe remember it and really love it, like me, for example, I start to get really defensive about it.
You should. I mean, you should be very worried because I saw this semi-consensually in high school. I have not seen it since then. I literally watched it because someone else wanted to watch it. And I don't remember necessarily being like, that movie ruled.
Yeah.
So I'm very worried that it's going to be not great now that I see it as an adult.
Yeah. If I have seen this movie, it is in the same circumstances of like Bring It On, where I was in college and some girls, young women,
wanted to watch it.
Were like, you haven't seen My Big Fat Greek Wagon? And I was like, I'll watch a movie. Sure.
Yeah. And then your legs touched at one point while sitting next to each other, and you're just like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Yes. And that's all I was thinking about the whole time. That's why I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
I'm just sweating buckets.
Yeah.
Well, Molly, how should we rate this movie? Unless Dan has something else?
I'll talk about it in the second half.
Okay.
I have seen some of her other films, and I have opinions.
Well, oh. A lot of teasers for the second half.
That's right.
Windex bottles.
Oh, Beth Koo. Beth gives Koo.
Beth Koo got in there with Windex.
The K is for Koo.
Yeah, let's merge that with Hallmark moments and do Windex moments.
Oh.
So it's like Windex sponsored a Hallmark movie?
Yes.
And they're like forced to incorporate it into the story?
Oh, product placement?
Exactly. Yes.
Nice.
Are those like those damn ads that they run during free throws in basketball games where half the
screen
is
the
game?
No one knows what you're talking about.
The sports head out there.
What?
It's a four quadrant podcast. I'm speaking to my sports heads.
Yeah, okay.
You're watching Timberwolves basketball. Go Wolves.
Yeah.
And Rudy's making a free throw or whatever. And then they're like, let's have a word from Window Concepts. And they'll play like a Window Concepts ad alongside the free throws.
While they're free throws?
That is annoying.
It's infuriating.
Awful.
No big deal, but I also watch sports sometimes.
Yeah.
And so when we watch Premier League soccer or football, they always have the like, oh, what is it called? Like extra time, like whatever. There's extra time every half. But it's sometimes brought to you by some sort of luxury brand. Uh-huh. And I always think it's so funny, like, to pretend like it's more luxurious time than any other time.
Everybody gets this, a hot towel in the stadium seats.
I can for sure understand wedging in some ads during soccer or football, as some people say.
Yeah, that's why they televise it.
I know, but like, it's nonstop, right? There's not big timeouts. Like, you just have to get an ad in there. But basketball, that's infuriating because it already stops like every 5 seconds for an ad.
Yep.
I don't know. I will say, I feel like somebody got a promotion at some of these like Peacock and other websites where if you press pause, an ad immediately comes up on the screen.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't love it, but they're not wrong. They're not wrong to try to get some stuff in there.
I mean, that is a streaming service equivalent of whoever figured out how to, like, you know, put cool graphics like on the basketball court to actually like help visually people understand the game, but also use it to just put in extra advertising for stuff that isn't painted on the floor.
Arby's.
Oh,
mostly
yeah.
Arby's.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, nice. Speaking of extra time.
Yes.
So far, we have a rating system, rating scale, which is Windex Moments.
Didn't go too long, as some people have given that feedback. perfect amount of time.
Oh, wow.
Dan, you're first, as we all know.
I am first, as we all know, and I accept that role with humble responsibility. As I stated earlier, I'm concerned that this movie was of its moment and will no longer be of this moment, and that I will think it's a real snooze. But maybe not. Maybe it'll be super charming. I'm really hanging my hat on those parents because I feel like they're a delight. I will say I feel like I'm going to have a cowardly 3 Windex moments because I just don't know.
Yeah, and we should, in the second half, list those moments.
Absolutely.
Okay. Beth, you are second, as we all know.
Yeah. Now that I know that, is that going to affect the amount of moments that I...
Beth, the integrity.
She'll just
the integrity
rank
of
one.
Our rating system.
No, I remember liking this movie, and I also think it was made in the early 2000s, which makes me think that it's going to drop a rating right there. So I'm going to say 4. I'm going to say 4 Windex moments. I think it will be fun to watch.
Awesome. I am third, and my name is Dan.
Thank you for reiterating that for everybody.
And coming
What's
into
that guy's the- name? Steve?
Yeah, right.
Steve and other Steve.
That's right. Oh, I hope there's a rival podcast out there with 2 Steves.
Me too.
We hate him.
Yeah, we do. You're on notice, Steve's.
Yeah. Steve Recall.
Tote Steve Call.
Coming into this, I was thinking, well, this movie's a delight. People like it. And I still like that as a starting point. But now I'm like, is it outdated? And have I never seen it and have no connection to it? So I'm dropping even more down to 3 Coward Wedding. My big coward wedding. Wow. I'll workshop it.
Their rating scale is Windex Moments?
Yep.
Okay.
3.
That's a sub. Windex Moments. Subtitle.
Oh, got you. Got you.
Yeah. All year.
I was like, respect Beth. Oh, thank you, Dan. I am last, and that does not upset me. This is Molly. I have fond memories, which means I have the most to lose in case this turns out to not be as charming as I remembered. But already I want to give myself some grace, because if you put this in the context of the movies where it came out, it's one of the few rom-coms where Jennifer Aniston isn't tripping.
Yeah.
And that's most of the comedy, right? So, okay, I've talked myself back up. I'm gonna take a big swing, be bold, Beth Beyond betrothed, brother, boxing, Big Beal Baggins, bold. Baklava, bold, with 5 Windex.
Ooh, wow.
It's a lot of Windex.
It's a lot of bottles, a lifetime supply. And with that, we're going to press pause, go watch My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and we'll be right back.
Hello, and welcome to The Mid-Roll, the middle of the podcast, where we talk about something interesting, such as patreon.com/totesrecall. What
heard
is that
it.
You say? It's a website. Wow, Braggy. Where you can go and you can contribute to the production of Totes Recall financially.
Comedy is not free.
It's not it's free. Not. It costs it's money not. For all these it's laughs. Like
it is exactly like freedom.
If you head there right now, you can see ways to support the production of this podcast by donating money to us. What do you get for that? Well, A, we make the podcast, but B, you also get special rewards.
Oh, wow.
Depending on the level that you select.
Oh, but am I assigned a level?
You get to choose the amount that you want to donate. Oh, you can donate as little as $1 a month. And with that, you get access to bonus content every month. You get access to Discord where we talk about stuff and play games. And
what if I have a cold head?
Cold head?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can you help?
Maybe you want to sign up for the level where you get a hat.
Oh, nice.
Keep your totes head warm.
Nice. Peek behind the curtain. This is how Totes Recall continues to exist, is that Beth carries on professionally no matter what we do.
Yes, correct. So please support Beth financially.
It really comes to, it comes down to Beth, you guys.
Give Beth an incentive to tolerate us for another 10 years.
Thank you very much for listening to this mid-roll content. Now back to the show.
.com.
Thank you.
And we're back. We just watched 95 minutes of just pure culture clash, a lot of Greek stuff. Wow. Really delightful movie called My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
A lot of Greek stuff, huh?
Just a lot of Greek stuff in there. Yeah, I don't know if you caught any of it.
It checks out. It checks out. I know everybody's clamoring for it, but big reveal, I have not seen this movie.
Wow.
For sure. Zero parts of it were familiar. Opa.
Nope.
I can't even say.
Nopa, more like.
Yeah, nailed it.
Got it.
I don't think I even saw the trailer.
Wow.
The poster's familiar. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
Wow.
That's it.
There was there's that scene where she like tries to like walk away and she's got the headset on and falls, and I feel like that is that was on DVDs.
Big DVD.
Yes. I apologize to Molly on feminism's behalf that is what happened in this movie, because you specifically called it out in the first half.
I know, but you know, there was a lot of really good physical comedy, so that's I didn't true. Feel like they just relied on, and that wasn't her only reason for awkwardness.
Yeah,
so
and at least she didn't just like trip while walking towards him, right?
Yeah,
like
or
there was like
down
a,
the aisle.
There was like a specific, like very specific reason that she fell, rather than just like something you don't see something that's off camera causes the female protagonist to just fall out of frame for some reason.
Oh, I'm so awkward.
Oh, I'm so
Dan,
normal
this...
and attainable.
relatable. Dan Jaquette.
That's
so
me.
This came out in 2002.
Yep.
Whoa.
What were you doing in your life that you missed this movie?
Ooh, great question.
First, credit to Beth. She guessed 2002.
A
thank
hot dog.
You very
great
much.
Job.
Oh, didn't understand why you were saying hot dog.
Chicago, hot dog. That's why.
Oh, because it was in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, Chicago.
Not New Jersey, Chicago.
Not New Jersey at all.
2002, I was a sophomore in college. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
So just watching a lot of VH1 late at night.
Sure. Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Already aged out of MTV.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Too cool.
Just blasting what? Like
Drops of Jupiter.
There you go. Steal My Sunshine.
Have I already complained about Drops of Jupiter? I think
probably,
maybe
but
I have.
It's worth
I mean, everybody has, but go ahead. Song.
I mean, so I was at a bar one night and this guy was going through a breakup and he was like doing that thing where he's like, all he wanted to do was talk about it, and he'd start to talk about it and then stop himself. Mm. So he was bummed out but didn't want to talk about it. So it was very hard to like incorporate it into the friend group. And then Drops of Jupiter played and he got really quiet. I was like, hey man, how you doing? He's like, oh, this was our song. I was like, oh, it was you and your ex's song? And he was like, well, no, but it just like really reminds me of our situation. Oh man, wow, now you know everything that happened. And I wanted to be like, no. No, because the lyrics make no sense. Yeah. Like, what is it about? Is it drugs? I don't know.
Yeah. Do you know that
made me so mad?
My beyond betrothed and some friends and I have a running bit with Drops of Jupiter where we will just like surreptitiously play the song somehow, and it's called Drops of Jupitering someone.
Nice.
It's like your local reference Rickroll.
Yeah, it is. Like literally
is that a local
the other day.
Reference?
It's to local Beth. To my house. The other day we were listening to some music or something on a speaker, and then my husband was like, I'm going to go downstairs and work on some stuff. And his phone was connected to the speaker, and he went downstairs, and then all of a sudden it was like, so tell me.
Do you find a cell?
The best one by far was after an improv show, uh-huh. one of the people that's in his improv group drove
Don't
his car.
Him.
I won't dox him, but he does love reptiles.
Oh, no.
Anyway, he drove, we were like in the parking lot, you know, talking after a show, and he drove by in his car just blasting it.
Nice. Here's what's wild is I was once standing outside that very theater in the middle of the day.
Whoa.
And someone was blasting Drops of Jupiter out of their car. And I don't think it was any of them. I think it was just a genuine, I think it was a genuine Drops blast.
Yeah, the universe was Drops of Jupitering you.
Yeah. What is
Speaking
their actual
of
name?
That drop.
Oh, sure.
Into our Beth's office.
Yes.
It's the awards we earned for the segment we all love and know, 60 Second Summary, in which we summarize the movie we've just watched, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, in
the
60
best
seconds.
Best summary award you've ever had, and me.
Steer me.
Did you ever get married in a Greek Orthodox church?
Oh, Molly's going to do 60 seconds to the tune of Drops of Jupiter.
All right, yep.
No,
that's what's happening.
I feel like I know the movie too well. I know it too well. No, somebody else do it.
The traditional Greek manner is that I volunteer, Opa, to do it.
Lyndon hasn't done it in a while.
Yeah, I feel like.
Is that true?
I think that is true.
Oh, look, I have my timer ready.
Oh,
right.
No.
Damn it. Fuck this, man.
We got hustled.
Okay. Don't forget, start with we open on and go.
The movie begins in Chicago at 5 a.m. A self-described frump girl, Tula something, is in the car with her father. They're going to the restaurant. Her father immediately says something misogynist about how she's looking old and needs to get married quickly. She's narrating
20 seconds.
How she is Greek and it's hard to be Greek and she feels so different and weird and everyone's getting married and everyone's supposed to get married and have Greek babies. And then she sees a man in the restaurant. She is so horny she can't even speak or give coffee to the person who asked for coffee.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cut two. She uses her smarts and the smarts of her mother to take computer classes, work for her aunt. 15
seconds remaining.
Her hot friend comes into the travel agency. They make out a bunch. Wow. Then they bang and then they get engaged. Her dad is mad because he's a wasp. This is the plot for the rest
Two
of the
seconds.
Movie and they get married. It's fine.
Yay!
Wow.
Great job.
Great job.
Wow.
Yeah.
perfect.
Yeah,
perfect
I was pretty I was really distracted by something. I don't know. It just felt like I was on edge the whole time and I couldn't really focus on the movie.
That's fair.
So just to be clear, the warnings that you got were 20 seconds and 15 seconds remaining.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
20 seconds in, presumably.
Yeah. I'm guessing that's it.
Who knows? Yeah.
Second one was clarified, but
I almost said one third of the way. At least, you're 30% done.
At least they were round numbers.
Yeah.
That's something. Yeah.
And a unit of time that fits into a minute. Jesus Christ.
Well, 100% Utah.
Thank you.
Yep. Very good. Very good. There's some subplots in there, but that really nails the overall thing.
Yeah. Some people named Nick. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people named Nick.
I want to say I was relieved watching this movie because I really appreciated how there's like a lot of broad comedy, but she made sure that each character also had a pretty real moment of some real kind of vulnerability and showing kind of the history and the weight behind some of the things that come off as comedic in other places. And I thought that was really charming and really nice.
Yeah.
And then she fell down. LOL.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was
a lot of physical comedy.
To be fair, though, that fall was genuinely pretty good.
It was really good.
She did a really good job.
Yeah.
It follows what I think is the funniest point.
Oh, hell yes.
Where he is kind of trying to make her laugh. So he's doing that thing where he's walking by the travel agency while going down the stairs. But instead he walks into this old woman and she just beats him up with her purse.
Wails on him. Oh, that
was
amazing.
The best part of the movie. I agree.
Yes.
I love her.
She
was so good.
Yeah. She like shoves him to the ground and then just
goes for it. What I love about it is like, you know, it would have been a perfectly, like, the beat was already there when she shoves him down and swings the purse at him, right? You're like, comedic beat over. But no, we keep the camera on to show that she is, like, whipping that thing multiple times. And it's a big purse.
Yeah.
And it's Chicago. You got to defend yourself, right?
Well, and you got all those dogs in there.
That's right.
Yeah. And then it's great because it comes back to it, too. Like, their flirting is so good. I also liked how they didn't hit, speaking of beats of a rom-com.
Yeah.
I liked how a lot of the moments were really, like, not very Hallmarky, but felt more authentic and way more fun.
I did. Yeah. I appreciated how Ian, I like how it was the way you sort of learned about her anxiety around him meeting her family. Like, it was presented pretty like in a naturalistic way where Ian's just like a nice guy and genuinely wants to know more about her and is like cognizant of the fact that she's being super closed off about it and is sort of like gently nudging her, but he's not just like, oh, what are your parents, serial killers or something? Or something, you know, I don't know, just some over the top like, what's, let me meet your family, god.
Yeah, he's kind of a Disney prince. I feel like he's
totally.
He doesn't have much going on. He's just there
to be
nice and not Greek.
Yes.
And have that be the conflict.
Yes.
But he also went against his parents.
Sure.
Right? They didn't want him to be a professor. And his parents are so dry. Like, I think they did a really good job of showing like how ready he was even for spice in his food.
Right.
I think he was a little bit, I think that's I'm gonna push back a little on that.
Wow.
Because I feel like a Disney prince is there to sing and to be a foil, like the thing, and I think he was actually representative of kind of a reflection of both of their journeys. I was
just thinking about that part where he keeps on getting kind of like hazed by the brother and Joey Fatone. But like, yeah, telling him that he asked like how to say something in Greek and then they tell him something that's inappropriate to say. But yeah, there's a moment where he just kind of like chases them down and stuff and it feels like, oh, he's
part of the
the
mix now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's just like, he's always so easygoing. It feels like there's almost no tension for him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like even his parents of like, you know, there's that moment of like, well, we'll call the club, which could be a big like tension moment. He's like, we'll get them ready to the church. And then it's like, It's just there so she can take out the ridiculous book, and once right. more she's like a fish out of water. And it's fine. I'm not like mad about it. It's just like he is
clearly like he stopped giving a fuck what they think years ago, and he plays it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he does, but like they're genuine. Yeah, no, but they go on an arc too. Even his parents.
Hell yeah, they do.
And like they get drunk.
Yeah, they figure out how to relax to into any, it and make jokes.
The secret to create any wasps, bring any wasps barriers down. Excessive alcohol.
Oh yeah, have you all had ouzo or
no?
The Turkish equivalent, raka.
I want to know more about it because they were very drunk on just one shot. And so
no, they did
multiple
shots.
It was two shots.
Did they?
They did multiple, yeah. Oh, okay. But also, I mean, that is straight alcohol. Like yes. if you don't drink and all of a sudden you have like a lot of, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Speaking as someone who rarely drinks.
Yeah. I mean,
it's got a very strong taste.
There was some suggestive cutting that would imply that like they were coming back around multiple times because her aunt was like, another one. And like what we've learned from her aunt by that point is she is the pushiest woman in the world.
Yeah.
I love her.
I love her so much. Andrea Martin is such a treasure. Oh my God.
Yeah, that character is amazing.
Vula.
Like she makes like these facial expressions that like she only has to do that. Like
yes.
that's all she has to do. And I am laughing.
Yeah. She's incredible.
Very good. As soon as the movie started, my brain had like a rush of nostalgia.
Oh.
Because the song at the beginning, when I was in high school, I was in synchronized swimming. And there was one
Bragging.
Year where, no big deal, I know how to swim. there was one year where two of the girls on the team had a duet to the music from this movie. And so I was like very familiar with it. As soon as it started to play, I was like, oh yeah, I've heard this 100,000 times.
Was it
all of a sudden you had chlorine in your eyes?
Yeah.
So was it like presented as like top of the pops? Like we all know this is from this Greek movie, or was it just completely?
No, not really.
Like a removed from it.
No.
Okay.
It was just like, yeah, music kind of pulled from, they would do music from all over the map, I guess.
Gotcha.
Like one year I did a routine to, there's a VeggieTales movie about Jonah and the whale.
Sure.
Yep. And so we did, our routine was entirely to that music. It's instrumental, but like, yeah, no one would be like, oh, that's from that VeggieTales movie.
Before we go too much further, I have a couple corrections to make. One, it's John Corbett. Corbett? Not Corbin.
Not Corbin Dallas.
Corbett.
Not multipass.
Not Corbin. And Aiden was his character, not Ethan, on Sex and the City.
Well, he plays and Ian in this movie.
Oh, he
wow.
does, Type which cast. Is the name of Nia, the writer-director's
she didn't direct
actual
one.
Husband. Oh, sorry. Writer star in this movie. Actually married a dude named Ian Gomez.
Okay.
Who you have seen if you've ever seen Felicity or a bunch of shows.
Mm.
And he's in this movie. He plays the best friend to Ian Miller.
Yeah.
And so it's very funny.
Oh, he's the like, guy who has no time to eat the food he ordered.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how we introduce
exactly. Yes. He's kind of he's a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah, he's kind of a sourpuss. He's like mm-hmm. barely the best friend character. I feel like he's just there because they felt like they needed one.
Yeah.
This is more of my Ian's story is light,
well,
which
okay.
is fine.
Hold on. I'm not here. Yeah, I'm going to, no, Dan, we're going to talk about
okay.
this because I think what
I'm
it is.
Already
inside,
is Dan. Don't worry about it.
Are you serious?
Yes.
This movie had so much more depth with the love interest than most rom-coms, like by far. But he was not an equal main character. It was her and her life story.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the point of it. But it's not like a Disney movie where you have a prop in a suit that the person has to marry, right? He's no Eric, but
oh,
we don't hate all Erics.
No, Eric.
He's no
of
Eric.
Course.
No,
yes.
he's no Eric.
That boring.
But I would just say, like, he has an arc. His parents have an arc. His best friend has an arc. Like, they all change during the course of the movie, which almost never happens. Like, typically, you just have a cute guy and the woman decides between job and guy. And in this, like, there is just so much more to it. And she had to fight for that. So I feel a
what
little
is his
irritated.
Arc? What is Ian's arc?
Ian's arc is that he has settled in on a wife that he knows he wants something different, but he's not sure what it is until he goes to a certain Greek restaurant, tries some food, and thinks, oh, wow, there's flavor in the world.
Yes.
Apparently, I guess he lives in Chicago and he's never been to a great restaurant.
He's a nice Midwesterner. He grew up on both spices, salt and pepper.
Yes.
Exactly. And then he goes from someone who is like pretty complacent in his life to feeling like he's met somebody who has awakened all of his like aspirations, and he speaks openly about his feelings.
He then agrees to get baptized in the Greek Orthodox Church. He agrees to only have members of her family in his wedding party. He agrees to do everything that her family wants at any point in the event. So he continues to be pretty complacent, but now he's happy.
He is complacent, but at the beginning, like when his dad says you should have asked, a good person would ask, he says, but she's 30 years old.
Hell yeah.
And the dad, and he's like, okay, may I please? And the dad says no. And he's like, okay. And he goes to the kitchen, says, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And leaves, right? So it's not like it's pretty bold, and he's in that guy's home. But he's like all about her. But I wouldn't say he's just like some mushy foil that's meant to just.
I don't think that's what Dan is saying.
I think he is, because he called her a Disney. He was like, there's no story here. He's just a Disney prince.
But not every Disney prince is Eric.
Yeah.
Okay. Which Disney princes have a story arc? Except for in the very recent ones.
Aladdin.
No, story is about Aladdin. Yeah.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I'm saying he's a supporting character in this story.
Like, he's literally a supporting character in the story of her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Disney
prince. He has way more to do than a Disney prince.
What are Ian's parents' arc?
They go from being extremely stuffy.
Yep.
They do get drunk. But after that, like even when they're stone cold sober at the wedding, like the dad cracks a joke for the first time.
Yeah, that's true.
They look like they relax and enjoy themselves. Yep. Like y'all knew that you were making text jokes about Rodney was going to get some pottery class.
Yeah.
So they also kind of woke up and went on their less judgmental
arc. I'm not saying it's non-existent. I'm saying it's light. He is a light arc, and
he's a heavy arc parabola
for being a side character in someone else's story. It's not comparing apples to apples.
Apples to oranges, am I right?
Or apples to oranges.
Miller's
Portocollis.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Why? I can remember the character name, and I can't remember the writer's name. It's beyond me. Go ahead.
Earlier, the writer was Nia Vardalos.
Nia Vardalos. Thank you.
Yeah.
What is Ian's best friend's arc? Hold on. I'm not done.
Yeah. Okay. So he starts out and he's just wanting to hook up with the same girls, right? You assume like the same blondes that were in her elementary school flashback and so on. He has very little dialogue, but the dialogue he does have, he tries to razz his best friend about him being kind of held by the short hairs of this woman. And then immediately backtracks and says, I know, I'm an asshole. My life is empty, basically. And Corbin's like, hey, she's got cousins. And he kind of rolls his eyes like, I'm not going to get in. Like, whatever you're into, I'm not going to have to do all this for somebody else. But then he shows up at the wedding and he has a good time and he ends up getting together with a cousin.
When does he get together with a cousin?
Did you not watch the final scene where they're dancing? And he is pulled into the circle of Greek happiness.
Yeah, he's pulled into the circle of Greek happiness, just like every other character in the movie.
The hand of the woman who had already been flirting. Yeah.
When were they
flirting? Oh, shut up. Listen, I can't help you if you're not going to watch the movie. Because I had all time right. to Wikipedia and watch the all movie. Right. And so 100%, okay. when she's standing up there as a bridesmaid,
yep.
they make eye contact and it is on.
Great. Oh, they if that would be like a will they bang thing? Yes, oh, yes, yeah. they will.
They will. They absolutely will.
All right, maybe I was too focused on Ian because it was the conclusion of his incredible arc at the wedding. So I didn't notice the bridesmaid since there were 18 of them.
Who and knew my you, big fat Greek wedding was going to be the next Apollo 13?
here's the thing. Here's why I'm a little sensitive about. Well, yeah, I mean, not yet. Here's
she's
the thing.
Get us.
is that so? This wasn't quite the Cinderella story that I thought it might be at the first half. Mm. It's not like she just wrote this great. One woman play, and then it became famous. She was doing a workshop through HBO, and she had written a 45-minute workshop or like a half-hour workshop, whatever. They worked into this thing, and it was, you know, she kept touring it and refining it, ultimately in LA, and it was a very popular show that kept selling out. Rita Wilson, who is married to Tom Hanks and is also of Greek descent, which I did not know. Mm. Rita Wilson was like, Tom, you got to come see this movie. And Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson and another producer.
Wait, it was already a short film?
No. It wasn't a short film. It was still a show, still a stage show.
Was it a one-woman show in LA. Or it was like a short play?
I got the impression it was still a one-woman show. Okay. Mm. And anyway, they started a production company called Playtone. Remember that really awkward, like,
it felt like produced early 90s.
Yeah,
it did. Man. Apparently, that was like a nod to the movie that came out. What was it called? It was
Hackers.
That funny thing, that thing you do, which Tom Hanks was in, and that was the fictitious name of the production company, and they just made that the name of theirs, so it was kind of a throwback. Yeah, because I was like, this is weird. Is this produced by a toy company? But anyway, that's Tom Hanks's production company, and they've had a deal with HBO forever, and so they produced it into a movie. It cost $5 million to make and made like $381 million at the box office.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Oh, but the point is, before he bought it, she was trying to sell it to all these studios, and they were all like, okay, but you can't be in it. How about Marissa Tomei? And how about the family isn't Greek, they're Hispanic? Oh. And they just tried to take out like all the parts that make it a great, like it's her actual life story. Yeah. Right. And so Tom Hanks was like, that's what makes this authentic and interesting to watch, is that it's her actual life.
Yeah.
And so because of that, it got made, and it got made the right way. So that's why I feel irritated by other people who also don't believe in sending people to space who insist on putting it back in that little box.
But he's only talking about the non-Greek characters.
Listen to me.
It's not even a critique. It's not something I don't like. I just thought
you're
it was
just not
notable.
Seeing it. Like, I'm seeing it.
Dan just wanted, Dan's just a big Corbett head and wanted to see him stretch his wings a little more.
He's getting these big swings converting religions. And it's like, yeah,
goddamn.
Great.
Oh, is that touching on something in you that maybe is the patriarchy?
What?
What?
What kind of man would, what? What?
No? What's the right answer?
I don't know.
But no, what is the resistance, right?
It's like not resistance. I'm not mad about it. It's notable.
Drop all their stuff.
It's notable because of the patriarchy
thing.
I guess. Because most movies, the man is more, I don't know.
He'd be like, oh, jeez, I'm not going to marry to a Greek Orthodox church.
It would be typically a point of tension and contention in most movies.
Or there'd be like an LOL where he's like, oh, I'm getting oiled up over here. And then he's just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, and the tension is not between our two romantic, not even leads, our romantic lead and our romantic supporting character, like many rom-coms are. It's more amongst the family, right? Yep. Ian almost doesn't matter. He's a sweetie, and I like him.
He's a sweetie, yeah.
But like, he's not important in terms of his character as much as him being not Greek. That's the most important thing in terms of the arc of this movie. That's the point I'm trying to make, which is great. It's different than most rom-coms, and I support it and I love it. And I wish down with the patriarchy. Send all Greeks to space. Is that what I should believe?
I think no. Finally. I think so.
That's what I'm looking for.
Okay. Yeah.
Fund the Greek space program.
Let's talk about her goddamn parents already.
Yeah.
Which is the actual source of tension in the entire movie.
Yeah, you promised me I would love Greek dad.
Yeah.
We apologize. No, I didn't remember that at all.
No, I remembered. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, everybody wishes they were Greek. Hey, you know what? This word comes from the root of Greek. Greeky, Greeky, Greek. I thought it was that. I didn't know it was also like, in Greece, women are broodmares and they must listen to me at all times.
Yeah, that was too bad.
It's a shame. It was too bad. But her mom was good.
Love the
well,
mom.
No, and but this is also just a thing I will mention is that he was so much like that. He was almost a caricature of himself. But then when his heart is broken, like you sort of get more of a glimpse into like his like first generation American like heartbreak, right? Like, yes. Because it represents something more than that. So I did appreciate that. But yeah, that whole first part of the movie, I was like, oh, I remember this being like way more innocuous.
Yeah,
probably
me too.
Because it was the early 2000s. And yeah. I was like, patriarchy, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, but now it's like, hey, this is why I got the smarts. This is why you shouldn't educate women. Ooh. Yeah. And then like there's the throwaway of like her mom and her aunt just being like, yeah, whatever, we'll just tell him what to do and he'll think it's his own idea. But like that was one line, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a lot. They just laid it on real thick. It was awesome.
I love that. I did learn a root word. I did not know that like xenophobia comes from the Greek word, because he keeps calling
Zeno.
And I was like, oh, that must mean outsider or something,
or
like that.
Stranger or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Interesting.
Language.
Yeah. I don't think all of his Greek word facts were accurate.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, he's stretching a little
bit. I mean, kimono for sure was accurate.
Yeah.
So good. I love the Windex thing too. It's so funny every time he sprays.
I don't like. Where does that come from? I don't.
That
understand.
Feels a little out of place in the movie. Honestly,
does it?
Yeah, it feels like a little too screwball for what is pretty grounded. The rest of the movie, like the family is boisterous and loud, but they're not.
But didn't your family have that kind of thing where, like, I remember there was an SNL sketch where it's like, put some butter on it, like. That they have like the go-to, like this will solve everything. In my family, it was like gargle salt water.
Sure.
It didn't matter if your arm was broken or whatever. Like the sort of cure-all.
That's funny you should say that, Molly. Mm. We have a Discord, which is a text-based platform.
Okay.
We ask for questions and comments. We usually get to this at the end of the show, but Andrew did ask, what's the Windex of your families? Any ailment cures or traditions growing up?
No.
Yours was gargling salt water?
Yep. My grandpa was huge on that, and it became a whole thing. Yeah.
That is good.
I support it.
I remember my mom thinking this movie was super funny, that Windex thing particularly, because her dad would put bleach on everything.
Oh, no.
They joked that when he passed away, that they would put him in a bleach bottle. That's what his urn would be. They did
like
not
he
do
would,
that.
He would put it like on his skin, though.
It's a cure-all.
P.S. Though, that is great. If you are stung by or attacked by fire ants, within 15 minutes, take a mixture of, I don't know, probably a little less than half, but a little bit of bleach and water and dab it, and you won't have like the... Yeah. And you won't have the pustules and the itching and stuff because the bleach neutralizes whatever the...
Neat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've also heard if you get stung by a jellyfish, pee on yourself.
I've also heard don't pee on yourself.
Oh, wow. Anyway, we're not doctors.
No.
But...
Please don't take medical advice.
We all know at least one doctor.
I know some doctors, yeah.
Yep.
No big deal.
I don't know if we had a specific thing. My mom would maybe suck on zinc when I had a sore throat until it tasted bad, and that's when it had done its work.
Sure.
Oh.
That was like the magic.
What is, like,
wouldn't that technically mean,
from?
Though, you were finally getting down to the zinc?
The zinc lozenge. You could buy just zinc lozenges.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But, like, if it tasted bad, isn't that, like, the actual zinc?
I don't know.
So shouldn't you be just like jamming down on it once it starts tasting bad?
Yeah. She'd also break open vitamin E capsules and rub that on skin irritants.
That feels legit.
Yeah. My dad was big on Sudafed, like the meth based Sudafed.
which is
still the only decongestant that works. I learned there's the other one, right? The one that you can't make meth with that's over the counter that you don't have to talk to the pharmacist for that's also Sudafed. They just, once things got restricted, Sudafed and everybody else was like, we need a different one. And they just decided this was similar chemically and put it out and didn't test it at all. And then later they did studies and it does zero.
Does jack shit.
Actually nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But it's still on shelves.
Everything. Really?
Still buy it? Yeah.
I thought they'd pull it.
Guess not. It's still out there. Oh, anyway, Jesus, we're not doctors, but...
I do have one other item, but I think Lyndon has one.
I don't. I mean, I guess like we'd put... I mean, we put hydrogen peroxide on stuff, and now the internet says that doesn't actually do anything, really. Mm. Or it doesn't do what you think it does, at least. Yeah. Like, it'll debride dead flesh, but it doesn't do anything else when it comes to, like, disinfecting or anything.
Lord. Yeah.
So when I was growing up, there was, like, almost nothing you couldn't fix by reshaping a wire hanger into some kind of tool or using masking tape. No, duct tape.
This is for medical issues?
No, sorry. Oh. We're getting away from medical.
Yeah.
Just like any mechanical issue you might have with your car or in the home, like you could pretty much reshape. And so there would be like any kind of problem. My dad would be like, get me a wire coat hanger and some duct tape.
Nice.
And he would like rig up whatever. But I realized to my chagrin that for me, it's painter's tape.
Okay.
I need a roll of painter's tape on hand at all times because it is great for everything. You got a little bit of light coming out of an electronic that's keeping your baby awake.
Uh-huh.
Put some painter's tape on there. You can put a little electrical tape on top, and then when it's time to remove it, it'll come off no problem.
Mm,
right? Nice. You're trying to open a stroller, and you can't remember where the little button is. You can't find it two times, the third time, you put that painter's tape on, you never search again.
Oh, yeah.
It is good for everything.
You can put painter's tape around all your cords that you plug into a surge protector and label them so you know what cord's what when you got to like unplug the TV and plug it back in.
Very smart.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Zip ties. That's my zip ties.
That's your painter's tape?
Yeah, you can fix anything with duct tape and zip ties. That was our joke.
My dad's car, the front bumper is entirely attached by zip ties.
Hell yes. That's so punk. I love it.
Yeah.
So strong.
Speaking of punks, I want to talk about Nick, her brother.
Your brother?
Not Nick, her eight cousins. I really appreciated the fact that he like starts off as just like, hey, I'm just a sleeveless jamoke behind the counter in the kitchen. But then like as the movie went on, it's like, oh, he's actually like they actually really like each other and like really support each other. And like he's genuinely like happy for her and is like has his own struggles with her dad. Yeah. They kind of touch on a little bit. I don't know. I appreciate how much of a character he was in the scenes where he wasn't required to be like the cliche brother. Right.
Yeah, and he does the hazing to kind of bring in the Disney prince, and I noticed that too. I thought it was so sweet that he was inspired by his big sister to pursue his own.
Oh, that was so touching.
Yeah, they're sweet how supportive they are.
And then it was wild too to see her perfect sister, right, Athena, goes and does exactly what she's supposed to do and looks absolutely miserable. Like it's such a nice little contrast of like, yeah, of course, you know, she doesn't want that.
Yeah, I'm glad that woman's miserable too.
Yeah. I agree with Molly's take is correct in this particular case.
Only one woman should be happy.
Only one woman should be happy. If a man does the bare minimum, he has a successful character arc that we should value and teach in film class. Speaking of men who do very little but win over your hearts, one of my MVPs of this movie is when, of the many hazing moments where Nick and then Angelo, Joey Fatone, gets in on it, which I don't know if they talked about this beforehand or they just have perfect syncing when they make fun of non-Greek men. when they convince him to shout to the entire family, I have three testicles. When he thinks he's saying, everybody go inside, dinner's ready or whatever. There's a great shot of the whole family laughing. And most of them just like point and laugh. But her uncle does this amazing thing where he kind of just like glances down at Ian's crotch a little bit. Kind of just out of curiosity, like, oh. Like, yeah. Trying to interpret the bulge. Right? Yeah. It's amazing.
That's not the first time one of her family members is trying to interpret his bulge.
That's true.
If I read this movie, right?
Excuse me?
Her cousin, Nikki.
Oh, I must have missed that line.
Yeah, they're getting hot and heavy in the travel agency office.
Yes, because for reasons that are not clear, they don't ever think of going to his place for months? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, too serious. They got to bang at work where there's giant windows. Like, just everybody could see it walking by.
I don't think they're banging at work.
No, they don't bang till they go to his apartment.
They're probably getting
ready. But that's the question, though. That's the question. Why not go to the bang apartment earlier?
Maybe she wasn't ready to go to the bang apartment.
I guess.
And then she was like, it's time.
Yeah.
But she didn't say it's time. She's like, what are we doing? Where are we? And he's like,
and he asks, do you want to go inside?
Yeah, he's a nice man. True. No conflict. But the cousin comes in. And Nikki. that's when the jig is up, right? It's everybody knows so-and-so saw you sucking face wherever, but then she looks down at his crotch, right? And I think it's, I think it's in the language of film, we're to believe he's pitching the tent.
Okay. But what does she say?
I thought that at first too, but then it was like, he was like too okay with it. He wasn't like, oh no. Like
exactly,
he was just kind of like,
exactly. He was too okay with it. He was too okay with everything that was thrown at him. Yeah, you can see my boner, whatever. Yeah. It's fine. Hey, my parents are automatons. I'm chill.
Yeah, his parents. I'm chill. Oof.
How did he turn out that way?
I appreciated so much that she shows up for the family dinner, the first time she's going to meet the future in-laws, the mom, and she's wearing a lilac like pantsuit and a pearl choker and brings a bundt cake. Like, it is just layers upon layers of like just super super Protestant, like basic. It's really sweet.
Harriet, she really
bundt.
That actor bundt. Really does a bundt. Lot with just facial expressions of being like, man. Tense, but also like completely tamped down.
Yes.
Yeah. Dead to the world.
Like the most frightened she's ever been, but also completely dead inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She was great.
I am not Greek.
Okay.
But both of my parents are Irish Catholic. And so we have huge families. And my husband has a small family. They're not uptight like in this movie, but just the like size of the family going from that to like the like tiny like intimate dinner or whatever felt like that was so relatable. I'm like, I'm so sorry. My family is so big. It's like, oh, here's everyone. I love that they all have the same names. That is very funny.
That was great.
Yeah.
That same was true for my husband's parents, don't dox me, where his mom is one of nine and his dad is one of four, but he was the youngest by far and the only one still living at home when they first started dating in high school. And so he had been over at her house, which was like just like a lot of people, like a lot of family. And she had come over to his house to have dinner with his parents for the first time and was like, had never heard people chew before. And it's just stone silent except for the scrape of the forks on plates, and like they were not big chatters. And I was like, that is exactly like I could picture the whole thing.
That's just so funny.
Oh,
horrifying.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my wife's don't dox me family is also pretty quiet, and it is very funny how like we both, whenever we have a gathering at one of their houses, like when we get in the car, we're both just like, oh, because we spent so much energy just like keeping the conversation going ourselves, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So real.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the reasons why I am so quiet in like big social situations is because I just like I'm so used to having so many other people around that I'm like, okay, I'll be the quiet one.
Amazing.
I loved the bits of culture shock in this movie. And there was the one where he was, you know, they were explaining he doesn't eat meat. And the aunt has this great DVD line where she considers for a long time and then says, that's okay, I'll make lamb.
Yeah, that's great.
It was so funny. It reminded me of when my sister was traveling in Egypt. They kept asking her if she ate the big meat. And she was just like, she just wasn't sure if they meant like, do you eat a lot of meat or do you eat like cow or maybe there's something bigger than cow?
Right.
And it just really took a long, long time. And finally she just said yes. And it turned out it was pork. They were asking her if she ate the pig meat.
Oh.
But she couldn't totally, you know what I mean? When you're not like tuning in for the right stuff. Anyway, it was just pork.
Nice.
But it's a valid question.
It absolutely.
I loved any
of the quick back and forth between a member of her family that had to do with food where like he would say something and they'd be like, okay, and then essentially present the exact opposite. Where she's like, oh, Ian, do you want anything? He's like, oh, no, I already ate. She's like, okay, I'll fix you a plate.
I love that. Yeah.
That is like every improv scene with Dan Jaquette.
Because I don't listen well.
No, it's very funny.
That is what she's saying. That is what she's saying.
No, because Dan will just go, oh, yeah, I get you. And then do exactly the opposite. It's very funny.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Can we...
Olive can branch, we take a... Olive Greek. Nice. Olive branch.
Nice.
Good job.
I'd like to express my appreciation for Andrea Martin one more time, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's an amazing moment of just like, you know, the haunted house of the family gathering that his waspy parents entered into. Like, they already have to deal with, like, the full animals on the spits in the front yard and, like, the 18,000 people all named Nick. But then the way Aunt Vula introduces herself to them is she's just like, oh, hi, I'm the aunt. And then, like, sits down and without any prompting tells a story about how she had a lump on the back of her neck for her whole life. And they finally did surgery on it, and they found teeth and a spinal column. She's like, yes, it was my twin. And then it's just like, then it's it. That's the story. And then she's like, oh, Uzo. I love it so much.
For those two characters, like that scene is like a mini drug movie. It's like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yes, it absolutely is. It absolutely is.
It's like, we can't stop here. It's bad country.
Yeah, but exactly. Like the camera's tilted. Then Gus comes in with a basket full of meat. And it's just like, oh, you want the meat?
I've forgotten about that story. It is so good. As she was doing it, I was like, oh, this has got to be somebody's monologue for auditions. Oh. But it was such a great moment, too, because she cannot wait to sit them down and tell them the story. It has all that energy of like you've told the same story to your family and friends a million times and you finally get a new audience.
Yes.
So it is the priority. You don't have to wait for it to come up.
Yeah. She clocked where they sat down immediately and just like shoved her way through the crowd. In
no,
the house.
She pushed other people out of the seats. She was like, go, go.
Yeah.
Can I do a quick corrections department?
Oh yeah,
please.
Okay.
Best corrections department. We said something dumb and we feel really bad. Beth realized it early before we finished recording, so we're gonna talk about it now.
Not to be confused with Beth's Department of Corrections.
Oh no.
Oh it's yeah. Different. Shut it down.
It's different.
Creeps.
Okay.
Creeps, just get up and go to the Department of Corrections. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
In the first half, I believe someone had mentioned the name.
Someone. Someone.
We won't say who.
Who knows who it was?
That name was incorrectly attributed to a biologist who created the Punnett squares.
Yes.
That was Reginald Punnett invented the Punnett squares.
Yeah.
So Punnett squares are a tool used in genetics to figure out possible outcomes of a cross between two things or individuals, like using dominant and recessive genes.
I see.
And then Gregor Mendel was a scientist who's known as the father of modern genetics. Mm. And so he crossed pea plants to figure out like how inheritance of genes works.
Yeah.
Mengele was a Nazi and horrible.
Joseph Mengele, yes. As soon as I said it out loud, I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but- I was like, that doesn't seem... Like, I got bad feelings when I heard that name, and I don't sure. remember, like, hating doing that so much totally. In biology, the right. Punnett squares.
No, that's
I
fair.
I got a bad feeling, but I was getting it confused with...
Nelson Mandela, who that? You also hate?
No. No. Yeah.
Molly.
Whoa, what?
Well, she thinks he's dead. I do not. Or died in the 80s.
Stop.
Oh, right.
Stop. I did not. This is a misquote, I'm sure
well,
of
Beth
it.
Beth was watching Kazam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I have seen, but no one will believe me.
Okay.
Go ahead, Molly.
Yes,
well,
Molly?
It's completely left my brain now, right. So we'll never know.
Well,
okay.
That's correct.
We say something dumb and then we do research. That's better.
So tell me.
Molly, you made a bet about a head versus neck. I wrote like almost no notes in the first half, but we might as well do some.
Sure.
And that's in there, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Good job.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's the head,
you.
But we're the neck. We'll tell him where to go.
Hell yeah. She rocked. I liked her mom a lot.
Yeah, her mom's great.
Oh, so good.
And she's got, her mom's got the, yeah, the softer touch of still like, you should go marry a Greek, but then is like, great moving monologue about like, we moved to this country. I gave you life so you could live.
So and, like, touching.
So go live your life. Marry Ian.
Yeah.
Ian Millar. Yeah, she's great.
She was great.
Great hair.
I loved the visual of her just like working with what's appeared to be a metric ton of potatoes that she'd already peeled.
So much food. And she and Andrea Martin together as the mom and aunt are so good. And there's this wonderful scene where they're trying to, they're trying to arrange something. And there's this great moment where Andrea Martin says, okay, tell me what to say, but don't tell me what to say. And they're like, perfect. And they totally understand each other.
Yeah.
And then she says this line. She's like, woe to me.
Yeah. Yeah, great delivery of like being bad at
so
acting.
Good.
Of like,
yeah. 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 When they're trying to convince Gus that it's his idea that she go work for her aunt.
Yeah, that Thola goes to.
And there's that great moment where like Gus like says something and Andrew Martin's like, oh, that is a good idea. And then the mom's like, no, it's not very good. And like stares daggers at her. I loved every moment Andrea Martin was on screen. She's a treasure.
Oh, agreed.
100.
Yep.
Was that really your only note?
It's a good note.
Beth, remember where Nikki and Windex, we already kind of covered it.
Yep.
Oh, definitely past Bechdel Wallace a million times.
All over the map.
Of Greece.
Yeah.
In Gus's office.
We see it in the office, yeah.
I got about half of Dan's guesses from his 60-second summary.
Oh, okay.
Because about the time that Molly yelled 20 is when I started taking notes. Uh-huh. Okay. You bet that there would be lots of food.
Yeah.
Rotating meats and olives.
Nice.
This is all too much, but I still love you. Cheek pinching. Will I Am and yogurt.
Oh, Will I Am. I forgot.
That's right.
Forgot about that.
There was a band that they had to pick up.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, that band was so
bad. It probably wasn't the Black Eyed Peas.
Probably not. Probably not. Although we don't know. Maybe it was the backing band.
Yeah.
Possible.
You know? Like maybe right after that. It's like, all right, we got to go get it started. See you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh?
I remember that
Thank
song.
Thank you. Yep.
Oh, one of the details that I didn't catch until this viewing was when they pan across all of the gifts that she has. So it was the morning of her wedding.
Yes.
They pan across all the gifts that are in her childhood bedroom. And among them is a crib.
Yep.
With a bow on it.
Yep. LOL.
I had never noticed. That is very funny.
It's very funny.
It's like, wow.
No
okay.
pressure.
No pressure.
I mean, that's a big gift, but not as big as her parents buying them the house next door.
Sight unseen.
That's a wild wedding gift, both in terms of cost and presumption.
Concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Insane.
But
When that happened, my wife, no big deal, was just like, I don't like any of this. Like, they don't even get to see the house. Yikes.
Yeah.
If somebody bought me a house, would I be excited about it? Or would I be like, oh, now what is it?
I'd be horrified because I'd be like, this is my responsibility now.
Yeah,
like, even if I don't want it, it's still my responsibility.
I have to say, I'd be happier if somebody bought me a house than if they bought me a timeshare. If
sure.
that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Because you could sell a house. It's like a starter house.
Yes. But also, you could just be like, here's like some amount of money for a down payment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's probably better. That's like I don't even really like it when people buy me like a shirt. Because I'm like...
yeah, I get it. It, like,
I guess they do set it up in the...
If it's the wrong shirt, now you got to deal with
they
that.
They set it up in the script, though. This is what we do. Parents give a gift. Yeah, so maybe that's more common than we realize.
Sure. But, I mean, it's also
Google
like...
It real quick.
It's also like, LOL, Gus is still trying as hard as he can to manipulate the situation for his own benefit.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, but also, like, I think it is trying to show growth for him because he's like, why are you going to leave? Like, why do you want to leave me? And then he's like, here's a house. And then the joke is, LOL, it's right next door. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So he's like accepting it, but also like, now you don't have to leave me. Hooray.
And then, in the epilogue, she says that they move into the house and she got pregnant 1 minute later.
Hell yeah, dude. Listen.
It's like, whoa.
Listen, there's a reason.
Very quick.
There's a reason the Greek civilization thrived for so long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do a lot of pre-wedding banging.
For sure.
Yeah,
who's
true.
Not to say she's...
Speaking of pre-wedding banging, I have a quick question because they have a proposal post-coitus, presumably.
Oh.
And Ian appears to be nude. And my question is, where was he keeping the ring?
Yeah.
I think you know where he was keeping it.
Where did he pull that ring out?
His beehole.
You know.
I'll think of it.
All right. Fair enough.
I appreciated Ian's body. Maybe it's
you and Nikki
2002, but he's like he's just a guy with a body. He's got like a little bit of a paunch. They oil him up. He's not like weirdly jacked, dehydrated, and hairless.
Mm-hmm. Right, for ostensibly a normal man.
Yeah,
he's just a teacher. Just like, yeah,
good looking guy. It's fine.
Yeah,
we don't have to be Captain America.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
Chill out, dude, but also do whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's why he wears those big sweaters in his later movies, so you can just let it ride.
The sweater. Knives out. Something else out.
All right. Cousin Nikki, baby.
Here's the thing. Here's what I love about that proposal scene is it's not like a typical proposal, right? He's like, I don't know how to say this. And he proposes, but he doesn't have a ring. And you think, oh, that's amazing. He's just caught up in the moment.
Right.
But like, will he? And then when he actually has the ring, you're like, oh, that second layer.
He's been holding that in there for weeks.
Yeah. 1-2 punch of the, you think it's just that he's going to run into the elderly lady, but then she really goes at it with the bag.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it was kind of like that, except romantic.
Yeah, the old lady beating a man half to death is the wedding ring in an anus of comedic beats.
Yeah,
I think is what we're all saying.
Tracks. We all agree about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, the only critique we don't see
Beating
naked.
Exactly. No. Let's see that flaccid dong.
Yeah.
No. Ring
we know it's flaccid. It's post. He's in the recovery phase.
We don't know his life.
Yeah,
that's true.
Maybe he's ready.
That's true. Yeah, maybe.
Well, before we get to the final reviews of the movie we just watched, my Big Fat Greek Wedding, we like to turn to the aforementioned Discord text-based chat platform and engage with our fans via obtaining questions and comments, Q's and C's.
Patreon.com/totesrecall to get access to the Discord.
We got a couple more other than Andrew's question about the Windex of our families. Karzon asks, how many ailments have you cured with Windex?
Mm.
Never tried.
Is one of the ailments a dirty window?
Oh!
Been a lot.
Yeah. Nice.
I will say vinegar and water works just as well, and you can make it at home.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I've just started using the Nancy Birtwistle recommended mixture to just use as a surface cleaner. It also works on Windows.
An old newspaper is good to leave it kind of streak free.
I hear that.
Why is that?
If you can get your hands on one.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I right? Print media is dead.
Have to wait for that trash newsletter to arrive.
Yeah.
The what?
Star Tribune just throws trash on your yard. Yeah. And it smells real weird.
Yeah, whatever the local paper is. Yeah. Well, I promised a Windex story in the first half, and so I'm here to deliver. I don't know if I've already told this on pod or not, so I guess stop me if I have. It's about the first time I took my child camping.
Okay.
No one's stopping me.
I just remember his shoulder dislocating. Is that a different story?
It's his elbow.
It's that story.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
I'll try and lead into the Windex of it, though. We didn't spray anyway. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. He was probably 2-ish, quite young, but walking around. We rented a cabin at Afton State Park, local reference, pretty close to the Twin Cities, and it's nature. And we basically, like so many things went wrong, we showed up and unpacked the playpen that he was going to sleep in. Turned out our cats had peed on it while like waiting to be packed into the car. And the only thing available to us to clean was a bottle of Windex in the cabin that they give you to like clean up, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
And so we tried that, but spraying ammonia-based cleaner on ammonia-based cat pee does nothing.
Yikes.
Yeah. So he had to sleep in bed with my wife. No big deal. Don't dox me. And just kicked her all night while I snored. And no one slept well. In the morning, we discovered the lighter I had packed was out of fuel. So we couldn't. No. I had to borrow one. We also forgot the kettle that we were going to plug in to make coffee with.
Oh, no.
A nice dad did bring us coffee after I told him about it, because he was there camping. He also had a newborn and was just there by himself, and he brought us coffee.
Oh,
what a hero. Yes. Then later we dislocated my son's elbow coming so back, and I didn't have the Windex at the time. I probably could have just sprayed it on his elbow.
Yeah, they would have just slorked back together like Wolverine.
Yeah. But
how did you say how you dislocated?
Swinging him from his arms, like you do for fun with a kid. Like each parent grabs a hand and you kind of pick him up and swing him. But turns out,
I still think about the way you tested to make sure he was really hurt.
Or try to give him a cookie.
Yeah.
What?
Because you saw him Dan saw him holding his arm, and they were like, "Oh, it's hard to tell with that age because they're not really talking a lot."
Right.
I tried to give him a cookie, and he wouldn't take it, and that was we were like, we need to.
Things are real.
Drive to the ER. Also, I need to check out of this cabin, which I probably didn't need to be out then, but it was time to check out and I was nervous about that. So I dropped them off at the ER. My wife left her phone in the car accidentally. I drove back, threw everything back in the car, drove back to the ER, couldn't get in contact with them, but she had left a note at the ER counter and they're like, "Oh yeah, they're at Chipotle."
Nice.
And I walked in, everything's totally fine. Turns out it's incredible. Super easy to relocate an elbow, and it immediately ends the pain.
Nice. Aww, at least, especially good. If you're like a rubber band of a young human, right?
Yeah, right.
So hot tip, here's our medical corner, continued. Hot tip for relocating your child's elbow. You kind of sit them in front of you, hold their arm in kind of a right angle against their body, so that their hand is sticking out the front, and then take their hand and rotate it outward while holding onto the elbow, and it just pops the elbow back in place, and you can feel it slip back in. He's dislocated his elbow 3 times now.
Jesus.
So it's been,
apparently it's easier to do once you've done it once. It's been a few years.
It's going
to
be a party trick for him someday.
Hell yeah.
Since it's
been a while.
That's probably what Houdini did.
Yep.
Probably. His parents just stretched him out so much when he was a kid.
Anyway, that's my Windex story.
That reminds me that I also promised something at the second half, which was that I've seen another Nia Vardalos movie and it's terrible.
Oh.
She wrote and directed it. It also stars John Corbett as the love interest, and it just felt very...
Is it My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2?
No. It was another movie. It's called I Hate Valentine's Day. It is a very, I don't know, it's like an attempt at a rom-com. It fails at almost every turn. And it, you can tell that maybe it was the first movie she directed herself, because I feel like every scene she's in, her eyes are like off at an angle because she's probably looking at the monitor. And it's very distracting. But the, I mean, even beyond that, it's just a, the plot is ridiculous. She's like, here, let me read the synopsis for you. It already sounds absurd. A florist who abides by a strict 5-date limit with any man finds herself wanting more with the new restaurateur in town. Mm. Her whole thing is that, like, she like knows exactly how to like get other people to give gifts to their loved ones, but she's just like doesn't have time for love because she's a busy businesswoman. And then she's like, yeah, and then she's like down to flock with John Corbett, but like can't get his attention. And she's like, I don't know, it's ridiculous. Then literally like, it feels, even the end feels by the numbers in like even the line delivery, because John Corbett is like talking to her through a window or something, and she's like, why are you here? And he's just like, because I love you or something. Like, it's just very just like, just kind of thrown out there like, it's because I love you. It's horrible. Well,
still good for her. Get it.
No. Yeah. Absolutely. Get that bank. I'm thrilled that she has had such a successful career after this very surprising, like, not rags to riches, but just like decent theater reviews to riches story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I didn't realize it. But, oh, wow.
Wow.
Her, the Playing director 30. Was a Playing director 30, yeah. of a lot of sitcoms.
Oh.
So you kind of feel that a little bit in hindsight. I'm like, oh, yeah, there is a lot of like physical, broader kind of comedy in there.
Totally.
So anyway.
Yeah. And
imagine
also,
if, Christopher Norton. No, no.
Christopher
mind.
Norton.
What?
Yeah. Nolan. Yeah.
Norton Antivirus?
Yeah, Christopher Norton Antivirus. Norton Antivirus nice. Is going to direct a movie soon.
Absolutely.
If they haven't already.
Whoa.
All right, last cue from the D. Discord.
D.
What?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
D. I get it.
Yeah, thank you. Ed Lids asks, are you Team Aiden or Team Big, and why is the correct
Whoa.
Answer Aiden?
Mm.
Wow. I don't
Molly.
Have an opinion, but I guess Aiden?
I should go ahead and cop to the fact that I have had a crush on every character John Corbett has ever played.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Aiden I did like, but
you said he was shitty
to
her though.
He was like low key shitty, whereas Mr. Big was like in your face shitty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he was the better of the two, but he was kind of a low key person who was dropping negs like in like relationship speak. So it was more confusing. But Mr. Big is truly awful, and I never understood her attraction to him.
Isn't it?
And there is a scene where Aiden has gotten away from her and he shows up wearing like a baby and a baby carrier. And I was like, wow. What did you ask?
I asked, isn't it his
was
penis?
It his penis?
Isn't that why he's Mr. Big? Because he has a big penis? I haven't seen the show.
He just, the way he said penis.
Wow.
I
Great
don't
question,
remember.
Dan.
But that seems not exactly right, right? But she doesn't give him that name.
Wasn't
her
he like Big
do.
Time? He's Mr. Big Time because he's like a big rich dude or something. I don't know. I haven't seen the show either. Here's the thing.
Maybe
I haven't
it's
seen the show.
Multiple meaning.
I've not seen the show, but my wife, no big deal, and I think my sister have all said that Aiden was better than Mr. Big. I did watch Sex in the City, the movie, with my wife, no big deal, and I remember half of that movie is Mr. Big being shitty, but then he like buys her a shoe closet or something, and it's fine. I don't remember. Those movies are not great.
So confusing.
So I guess I'm Team Aiden.
Okay.
They do, spoiler alert, they do get back together.
Who?
Or he comes,
Casey
the
and
character Aiden.
Aiden
Carrie. Oh.
Clinton and Nate.
Yes. Get back together. I think they do in Sex and the City's sequel, which is...
They go to Dubai?
Sex and
Sexier
I'll
tell you this about
Sexier
in
the Cities.
No, let me tell you this about that. No, it's...
Just
and
like
Just
that,
Like That.
We're back. Baby.
We're just Like That. Yeah.
Oh, the show.
And he's reformed. He's a much better character. But I haven't watched it because I couldn't get through it. Any of it.
But you know he's reformed and a better character?
Because I read.
Oh. Damn. Shots fired.
Wow.
It's the same article that I mentioned earlier. I've just read the one, but I'm an expert.
Nice.
I see.
So I guess we're all Team Aiden. maybe.
I've
never seen any of Sex and the City, so
just
I don't
pick
know.
One. Just pick know. One, Beth.
Yeah, Aiden all the way.
Yep. Nice.
Sold it.
Yeah, that actor reminded me of Paul Rudd, which no one agreed with. Oh, Molly agrees.
I did, but I wasn't fast enough to type.
Finally,
but no, he also has an ageless, you know, some piece in our time.
Yeah, he's just got like he's
I'm
got.
Sorry,
like a
I yelled at you.
Charismatic
Dan.
Smirk. It's fine. The fans love it. Okay. I can take it.
The fans love it. The fans love it.
Fans are clamoring for. Oh,
speaking of things
views.
Fans are clamoring for, when Molly pointed out to us that his best friend, the actor, is married to Nia Vardella, she then mentioned that they did get divorced later. And she was thrilled.
Yeah. That's law, not she true. Liked the number. Her own text and then removed it and then liked it again.
Yeah. Yes.
Just so we get two notifications.
Then she sent it with lasers. And yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Great. Our review, as we all remember, is Windex moments, which are Windex products placement moments featured in TV or film. I don't think
Hallmark. Mm-hmm. Hallmark.
Hallmark.
Okay, the Hallmark.
Specifically Hallmark okay, movies. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hallmark movies.
Mm-hmm. Pay attention,
like a,
Dan.
Like a trademark next to it?
Windex TM?
Like, is it,
oh,
it's is got it like Windex moments TM? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It just seems right.
Yep, for sure.
Okay. I mean, legally, anyway. There should probably be a TM after Windex, and then...
Windex well, TM moments TM?
I think it's Windex TM moments R.
Oh,
oh, it's a registered trademark.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're lawyers. We know that that's right.
Yeah.
We're doctors and lawyers.
And lawyers. Yep. Doctor lawyers, lady lawyers.
That's right. That's right. Callback.
What was...
Listen, no, that's a different rating scale. Who knows when? Great TV show we pitched that turned into Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, if I remember right, was noted to
correct.
Yeah. Doctor lady lawyer later. Lady.
Doctor lawyer
later. Anyway, listen to that episode, whatever the fuck it is.
Yep.
Dan, you gave it 3. You thought it would maybe be too much of its moment, so it could be a snooze fest.
Yes. I don't think it was a snooze fest. I did. I found some of the characters quite delightful throughout, especially Andrea Martin, as I've mentioned countless times. I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny considering what it was, because it's not like, you know, it's not trying to be like a laughs a minute comedy, but it's also not trying to be like a serious treatise on the immigrant family experience in America. And I felt like it rode that balance pleasantly. I don't know. I was a little bored by the end because I was just like, just get married already. So I'm going to say 4 Windex moments. Number 1.
Thank you.
I'm returning to my hometown from my high-paying, busy New York job. I run into a moose because I can't see on my window right. Window correctly. A handsome man comes out of his candy shop and is just like, oh boy, you got to clean your windshield. And then has a bottle of Windex handy and wipes it. And I notice his incredibly toned forearms from stretching that taffy. That's 1. I got to speed these up.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Windex moment number 2. We smooch next to a Windex display in a department store. Windex moment number 3. Where there's a Halloween scene and a child comes out to the door and I go, who are you going as? And they say, I'm a bottle of Windex. And then I say, oh, that's so cute. And then it says something offensive because LOL. Like, shut up, bitch, or whatever. And it's like a 6-year-old.
Hallmark?
What?
Is it a Hallmark movie?
Yeah. Okay. Windex moment number 4. Lalohan does a Windex commercial on the TV. It's like diegetic. It's just like in the background.
Sure. I love it.
Great.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Beth, those are great. Beth, you gave it 4. You liked it at the time, but were worried it would not hold up.
Yeah, I thought that I really loved it. I thought it was super funny. Like for a rom-com, it was really making me laugh. out loud.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So I guess zero Windex moments. No. Right. I think I'd give it a 4.5.
Okay.
The first moment is I'm spraying a dirty window at the shop that I work at, and a man walks by, and as I'm cleaning the window, I can see him through the window.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And then the second moment is I am carrying a bunch of boxes to my new apartment that I'm moving into because I just had lost my job and now I have to move to a new place.
Oh, no.
And I drop my cleaning supplies and the guy who lives next door hands me the Windex bottle. They're all Windex bottle related. Okay, the third one is the third one is I mix up my new Cosmo drink that's blue with a Windex bottle, and I need to be brought to the hospital, and the doctor's super hot.
Oh, okay. Nice.
the fourth one is a Windex commercial that's like kind of cool, and then.
Like during the broadcast of the movie?
Yeah.
On TV? Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. And then the half one is like a half bottle of Windex that falls in love with another bottle of Windex.
Oh.
That's great. That's a great moment.
Yeah.
Great Windex moment.
Yeah. Sorry, I wrote DL twice instead of DJ.
Whoa!
But it is
twice
my turn.
Is nice.
I have third, I have Dan. I gave this 3. I had no nostalgia towards it. I didn't know how it was going to hold up. That's still true, but I liked it. I'm glad this movie exists. It feels different than a lot of movies in the same genre. And so I'm happy about that. It didn't do a lot for me. And it, even though it was 95 minutes, it felt long. Like even as the wedding was starting, I was like, oh, damn, we got to get through the whole wedding. And there's probably like something after that too. This is taking forever. And I looked at the time and I was like, 95 minutes. God, I thought it was like 2:12 or something.
Wow.
So that was too bad for me. but I'm still going to go up to 4. Good job. Movie.
Nice.
They are... Hallmark rebranded the movie The Fugitive and took off all the edges, and the scene where the panhandler tries to wash evil doctor's car,
yep.
He's got a name right bottle of Windex.
Nice.
The next one is I'm, you know, fumbling for my keys to get into my New York apartment, and I have a bag of groceries, and instead of a baguette sticking on the top, it's a bottle of Windex.
Nice.
Then the next one is we're out on the street now. It's still New York. Someone is screaming out the window because someone else cheated on them. They're throwing all their clothes out, including a big bottle of Windex, which splashes in front of me and my love interest. And they get Windex on their ankles.
Oh,
and I reach down to wipe it off.
Oh.
And it's intimate. and the fourth one, of course, is a race car based movie. And the car is sponsored by Windex, says Windex in big letters on the top
Hell
of the
yeah.
car.
Mm, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nicely done.
That's great. Great job.
Molly, you are last but not least. Despite our tension, we're still friends. And you were going to give yourself some grace and be Beel Bowl, big man, baklava, Baggins.
Wow.
And give it a 5.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. And we are still friends. Thank you. I'm so sorry. So sorry I yelled at you.
Beth, did you notice that she didn't say if we're still friends?
Yeah. I mean, I did.
Intentional.
Yikes.
Okay. So all of my 4.5, I had a similar feeling. Like I was so nostalgic for this movie, and in some ways it was just exceeded my expectations, and in other ways it fell a little flatter than I remember. So I think 4.5 is pretty fair. All of my Windex moments take place in the same movie.
Okay.
It starts out in New York. So wild. They didn't specify. It's a big city. And I'm a mess because I don't know how to love. And mm-hmm. I've gotten over drunk and fallen asleep. And when I wake up, I see that my mom has come over and she's spraying Windex on the bottom side. Oh, maybe it's my roommate is spraying Windex on the bottom side of the coffee table that I've passed out on top of because mm-hmm. it's made of glass. And then I go back home to my Christmas tree farm that my family's owned for generations. And while on the flight, I sit next to the worst seatmate in the world. But one of the things is that they spray down absolutely everything, including the window, with Windex. And then I make it to the Christmas tree farm and my parents have a little black cat named Mistletoe with just like a little dot of white on its chin. And the only reason they know it has a white dot on its chin is because when it first came to them homeless, they wiped it down with Windex and revealed the one white spot. And then I fall in love with a handsome lumberjack who works at my family's farm. We've known each other since we were kids, but my, he has grown up in the last two decades since I've been away. And he's the one who actually found Mistletoe. Oh. But I have a mild cross-country skiing accident and am trapped in a very romantic shed that just has like a fireplace and like some bearskins and wine. Yep. And I can't get out, but he can't get to me. And we've noticed each other. So he doesn't have any snowshoes available, so he just straps two Windex bottles, one to each foot, and is able to make his way through the snow and the mm-hmm. Christmas trees to find me. And Aria, that's at least four, right?
Oh, yeah.
And four. Then, as he arrives, he leans over. He's about to give me a deep, passionate kiss, and then he just sprays some Windex on my broken ankle. Wipes it down and then gives me a kiss and proposes and has a ring that he's carried with him in his butt.
Yeah. Nice.
The end.
So what we've established is that the rule of Hallmark movies is that wiping down ankles is very intimate.
Yeah.
We've had two movies that include
ankles
that scene.
The most intimate.
That's right.
I'm so sorry. It's very hard to come up with 4.5.
I think you nailed it.
Like, one might say too many moments.
I think collectively, we've just written the greatest Hallmark movie ever made.
Yeah.
Like, if we put all these together.
Hey, Windex, Hallmark, get at us.
Yeah. Get on this. Yeah. Listen, this is what we can do with no thinking.
Yeah.
Just imagine what we could come up with.
With actual time and effort.
And money.
We should. I will challenge any AI machine.
Okay.
Totes Recall humans versus an AI robot for writing an incredible rom-com.
I love it.
But it has to be judged by other humans.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
It's not fair if an AI just...
Yeah, I mean, anyway. We'll wipe the floor with those assholes.
Yeah. That's what the A is for.
Oh. Anyway.
Asshole intelligence.
Asshole intelligence. Ha ha! You busted, AI.
Yeah.
Dude. Notice how Beth is remaining silent because she is concerned for her safety.
Praying. Yeah. She's just praying the podcast is over.
I don't know why everyone speaks so ill of the robots.
Whatever.
You are the best human producer we've ever known, Beth.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, a robot leadership would be fools to throw you away with the skills you have.
Yeah.
I'm
definitely
just saying.
Shouldn't be replaced by a goose.
Certainly not. With a smoking problem. Yeah. Check out that episode.
The progressive
figure it out.
You got to listen to all the other episodes.
Use AI to figure out which episode has a goose in it.
Can you do that? Can you give AI audio? Probably.
Oh, probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
because isn't that how they like make people's dead voices come back and it's terrifying?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Like Jimmy Stewart's sleep stories and.
What?
What?
Oh,
no.
Yeah, I have the call map, no big deal. And there is a sleep story that has been narrated, I put that in air quotes, by Mr. James Stewart, beloved actor. And it's, I didn't even click on it because I'm horrified.
That shouldn't be legal.
No, it shouldn't.
It's not right.
Yikes.
It's not an impersonator. The AI.
I'm pretty sure. Google it. You do the work, listener. That's the theme of this closing segment.
Yeah. They also did that for, I think they did that in a good way for Roger Ebert. He had like throat cancer or something and couldn't talk anymore. But there was so much audio of him that they were able to create
build a model.
Speaking machine that was his voice.
Yeah.
But he was these are the words I want said with my voice. He wasn't
it's better.
Oh no, he had control over it, but they used his actual voice to be the voice that said the words that he selected.
Yeah. That's cool.
He was alive at the
time. Do you think that it's possible that Jimmy Stewart, before he passed, was like, hey, just so you know, if this technology ever exists, I would love to do a sleep story for the Calm app.
Maybe.
He definitely said that.
These are his cherished recordings that he recorded for his children.
For Zuzu.
For Zuzu. Oh, it's time to go to sleep now, Zuzu.
Now, Zuzu, if I ever to shed off this mortal coil before you're able to fall asleep on your own, just know that we've got a thinking machine over here that's it'll sound exactly like me, sweetie.
Yeah,
but
just suck it on my voice from all my films, and it'll shoot it right into your right into your ear holes. Now go to sleep, honey. Robots are your friends.
Go to sleep while this robot shoots my sucked out voice into your ear holes.
By the way, Windex is a great product.
Another Windex moment.
Bill Clinton almost,
I was going to say, you're like, you're veering somewhere.
I did not use vinegar spray on that window.
Wow. Oh my God. What are you, a stand up in 1998? Like, Jesus Christ. We will use Windex to clean all our windows, not because it is easy, but because it is hard. Awful.
I'm not a dirty window, have I? I never done a... I'm trying to do an exit.
You're doing it.
I thought Molly was going to do a Bane.
Well, I was going to try to do a Bane.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, this is... I'm not from the 60s.
What the?
I love winter.
What was that last part?
I love that Bane also sounded like Darth Vader.
Yeah, and like had like a gear turning in his mouth or something.
Well, Nancy, I think we should siphon all federal funding to the poor, to the Windex Corporation, and then I'm going to slowly dismantle every government program that does anything good in this country, and die years later, too full of Alzheimer's to remember my own hideous legacy.
Oh, no.
Fuck Ronald Reagan. More flaccid donkey movies than fuck Ronald Reagan. That's the position of this podcast.
Brought
I don't care if it was a bad
Windex.
Impression.
I feel like our movie deal just slipped from our grasp.
Yeah. Lost that quadrant.
Well. Podcast
over.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.